Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, and spirit-led church. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you, and on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonhomme, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
I am so pumped to bring the word tonight. Now, can I tell you what my goal is of tonight through a story? A little bit of a cheeky story. Is that okay? Josh, if I could have some more foldbacks, please, that'd be great. I feel like Pastor Brad every time I say that. Let me tell you a story. I have about 7 or 8 houses down from me. There is a lady, her name is Mary. She's very elderly, very frail, but she loves her gardening. I have seen her garden sort of diminish as she gets older. So over the years, I've seen her, she's able to do less and less and less. Right next to her house is an alleyway, and the alleyway leads to nowhere, funny enough. But anyway, there is an alleyway, not her land. And all of a sudden, she finds growing in this alleyway a little plant. And she finds this plant so beautiful. She waters this plant. The rest of her garden may be dying, but she loves this plant. And so the day after day, week after week, this plant grows and grows and grows until one day she arrives home, she gets off her activist bus. She arrives home and she finds police cars out the front of her house. And the police are digging up this large plant. And this plant that she had been watering, she had no idea what it was. So she walked up to the police and said, "What are you doing? That's my plant." My goal tonight is, I feel like there is a little bit of an incorrect thought and pattern that we are protecting, that we are keeping safe, that is disastrous to our life if we keep harboring it. I just believe that that there needs to be a little bit of a digging out. And let me tell you about the thought pattern. I've been youth pastor now for 5 years. If we haven't met, my name is Jackson. This is my wife, Alyssa. This is my first time preaching with a ring on, so it's going to be extra anointed. And we've been youth pastors for 5 years. And you know what happens when you've been a youth pastor for 5 years? You start to see the cycle. And you start to know action A leads to consequence B. And you sort of can see... You sort of start to feel like you can tell where someone is heading just because you can look at their life. And what we fail to sometimes remember when we're on our walk with God, when we've got our field of faith card, when we're just in the workplace, when we're dealing even with my own siblings, is that though I may have seen a pattern, you know, unravel before, I still have not considered the intervention of God. And it is so dangerous of me, for my loved ones, for my family, for my marriage, for my youth ministry, for our youth leaders, for my co-workers, for me to start presuming I know what happens here. Because we start to deny God the ability to intervene. I feel like God tonight is digging up the destructive plant. The one that we didn't know was dangerous, but it's dangerous. I want to read tonight a couple of verses, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 to 17. Actually, this is what it says. It says, "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here." I've titled this message, Saul to Paul. Me and Nottage was out in Force AM and preached on this verse this morning. And then Pastor Brad was preaching on Saul to Paul this morning. And guess what I am preaching on tonight? The story of Saul to Paul. Now, I want to just, little asterisk, biblical integrity. Saul and Paul are two, in one sense, meaningless names. When he had his conversion, he didn't automatically go to Paul, but I'm just using it as an analogy for the old and the new. This man Saul was a persecutor of the church. When Christianity started to spread like wildfire, particularly amongst the poor, the lower class, the upper class, the elites, the decision makers looked for a man that they could charge with persecuting and stopping the spread of Christianity. So naturally, you would look for the one most zealous for Judaism, the one most zealous. He was a zealot, sold out to persecute Christianity, and they found a guy by the name of Saul. He was the perfect Jew. He was the most passionate zealot to punish the Christians and stamp out the workings of God. People feared him. His name was well known throughout the country. This man you did not want coming anywhere near you. And then one day, as he's on his way to persecute more Christians, he's killed some one day and he's on to do it again. He literally wants to stamp out the mark of the gospel. He's on his way and all of a sudden, a light comes from heaven. He falls off his donkey, which was his horse. And he has an encounter with Jesus. He gets up blind and he goes on to his where he was going. And a man named Ananias is called by God to pray for Saul, and this is what happens. Acts chapter 9, verse 17 to 18. So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. I just want to paint a very clear picture for you tonight. As we come around God's word and we see it all through the New Testament, this is just a very easy one to pick from. That you can be angry, you can be depressed, you can be aggressive, you can be violent, you can be disliked. And in one moment, you can change to full of grace, to new gifts, to a call of God. It only takes one moment, and that space in the middle is called an encounter with God. It is called you and Jesus having a personal kaboom interaction where the presence of God totally rocks our worlds. And here's what I feel tonight, that there are two things that God is asking us to commit to this year. To weed out that destructive plant, to get rid of that little thing that we were in pride or maybe in arrogance or maybe whatever it was, we were harboring and protecting and watering, we're going to rip it out tonight. Because the future that God has for you in 2021, the future that God has for your family and your friends and your co-workers and for my field of faith, is contingent on the fact that we learn from Saul to Paul. The first commitment is this: I am determined to see past someone's Saul life and into their Paul life. I'm asking us as a church tonight, as a young adult community, a youth community, a Horizon Church community, to be determined that in 2021, I will see past the Saul and I will be the Christian, the Holy Spirit discerning, filled Christian who can see past what they're presenting right now and I can see into their post-encounter, their Paul life. I tell you what, the world is very good at seeing everybody's Saul life. Everyone can read you at face value. You can meet me any day of the week and you will be able to see what's right there in front of you. But it takes a discerning Christian for the world to be reached. It takes a discerning Christian to be able to say, I can see through that. I can see through that pain. I can see through that heartbreak. I can see through that diagnosis. I can see through that hard heart. I can see through that personality. I can see the God DNA in you. I can see the God DNA in you. I'm going to treat you not like everyone else is treating you like you're Saul. I'm not going to treat you like the world treats you, because as a discerning, Holy Spirit-filled Christian, because I got the voice of Jesus on the inside of me, I'm going to speak to you as if you're Paul already. I'm literally going to win you to the gospel. I'm going to be the Jesus that you meet, and I'm going to speak to you, love you, care for you, because I can see the Paul in you. I can see the Paul in you. Can I illustrate it with a story? I used to work at Pet Barn. Shout out to the part-time workers in retail. I love you. And Saturdays used to be 7:30 till 5:30 after a very long night at youth. I was often late, and I thought my boss would understand. He never understood. I got in a lot of trouble, but I was an extremely good worker, so I got away with it. But don't do that. The mistake that you make when you meet someone who works at Pet Barn. Pet Barn's a really great company. I just need to let you know, I'm going to rip on it a little bit tonight, but I've got two family members that still work there, so I do need a disclaimer in case Mum listens to the podcast. Pet Barn is a great company. Go there. So, you can cheer. So, the mistake you make is thinking, because I work at Pet Barn, I love dogs. I want to clarify something. I love my dog. Okay, when people bring in their grubby little dog and they're like, oh, that my dog, oh, look at my dog, I'm like, that is feral, get that thing away from me. I don't do that though. I think, oh, so nice, oh, yes. And they're like, can my dog have a treat? I'm like, yeah. And I swear they just come in for free treats. Anyway, one day, I'm standing at the cash registers that are right next to the door, and in walks a lady and a Tibetan Mastiff. And I want to show you what a Tibetan Mastiff looks like. Have a look at the screen. So I scream, lion! Someone's brought a lion into Pet Barn! There is a lion in here, and I lose my mind. Okay, we have protocols, people. We allow dogs and cats if you're weird, but not lions. Not lions, people. And of course, I calmed down. And I learned it was a Tibetan Mastiff. And then you know what I said? I said, if that dog isn't called Aslan, you've got rocks in your head. Its name was like Janine or something. So, yeah. safe to say, I only saw that dog once. She never came back to Pet Barn that day. Sometimes what is on the outside, the Saul in people, is not what is on the inside. Take a little bit of Holy Spirit discernment, a little bit of time and listening, something our world isn't that good at, you'll realise that that isn't a lion. You realise that that person that you're talking to, there may be a hard and a harsh exterior, but you need to be Jesus to them, and you need to see that's not a lion. That, my friend, is a friend. The mistake we make is, we see people's reactions, we see the external, we see what's going on in someone, we see the symptoms of the diagnosis, and we automatically start to judge. It's what our world is good at. But it is a mistake. I was sitting at dinner, my friend was getting married, and Creef and I were in the bridal party. We're getting dinner the night before the wedding. Jai was also in the bridal party, and Jai was running late, and we were waiting to order for Jai to arrive. We were waiting, and Jai was taking forever. So the waitress kept on coming to us, and she kept on saying, like, are you guys ready to order? We're like, no. Even though it's been an hour, we're just going to wait a little while longer. Well, even though it's been like, it might have been an hour, sorry, Jai. It felt like an hour, right? Anyway, so the waitress comes to pour more water in our jugs. We were only drinking water because we're stingy and cheap. And $70 a head meal. Anyway, she's pouring water, and Creef didn't see that she was behind him. And Creef goes, would they hurry up? And the waitress behind her goes, I'm so sorry, I thought you were waiting for someone to order next. And she thought Creef was yelling at... Oh, that was way better than I expected. We're so quick to hear someone on face value and judge what they're doing or what's going on in the inside. We need to be a Christian who doesn't look on the external or on the immediate. We need to see past it. We need to listen through it. We need to be the Christian who sees the Paul in them. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16, we read this. I want you to note it again. It says, "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view." Come on, from now on, I need a commitment tonight, church. From now, come on, young adults, I need a commitment that we will be a community. From now on, we will regard no one from a worldly point of view. I will see through it. Jesus in Zacchaeus saw a philanthropist and a disciple when everyone else only saw a dodgy tax collector. Jesus saw a leader when everyone else only saw Peter as a fisherman. Everyone else saw an obnoxious blind man. But Jesus spoke to Bartimaeus and said, "You are a healed man." In Mary, everyone thought she was a common girl, a no one. But God looked at her and said, "You will carry the Savior of the earth." The woman at the well, everyone else saw as an adulteress. Jesus saw as a preacher. Come on, with your field of faith this year. Come on, I want you to start praying over the Paul in them. Over your family this year, I want you to start praying the Paul over them. Over my sister, I'm going to pray the Paul over her. Over my unsaved friends, I'm going to pray the Paul. Over my sick friends, I'm going to pray the Paul over them. I'm going to be a friend who sees the Paul. My auntie, I've shared this story before, but my auntie, she was really hard-hearted towards Christianity, and we actually lost our relationship a bit when I became a Christian. She was so passionately against it. So the way, she's not really my auntie. This is why I call her auntie. Her son and my son, sorry, psych, gotcha. Not for 5 years. Her son and I were born on the same day in the same ward, and our mothers hit it off. So what happened was on her son's sixth birthday, he was playing hide and seek, and he got in a. They lived on a farm. He trapped himself in a birdseed container while playing hide and seek, and he tragically passed away that day. And we've remained really close ever since, but she had a lot of pain. She was dealing with a lot of grief and became very hard to anything at the thought of God. And she was eventually diagnosed with terminal brain cancer. And so as a young Christian, I'd just become Christian. We just lost our relationship, but I thought, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to fast and pray. Well, I said, I'm going to fast. I actually never prayed because I thought it was just fasting, but I think God still heard me because it was only a couple of months later that she's still alive. And well, Jackson, my mum said, she's gone into remission. And I'm thinking, was that me? I was like, when you wake up to the power of God that's on the inside of you, you're like, whoa. Anyway, that happened again a few years later, and then about 2 years ago, she got diagnosed with the cancer had come back, and she was terminal again. And this time when I prayed about it, God led me on a fast, but not for her healing, for her salvation. I knew this one was serious. And can I tell you, sharing your faith, it's all fun and games until the one that you love is on their deathbed, quite literally. And then you're really praying. You're like, no, this is eternity now. I've got to do something. And so I kept on trying to bring it up. I'm like, even I had my mum on my side. So my mum and I, because my mum wants her to go to heaven as well. And so I'm bringing it up. And she would shut it down every time. So one Sunday morning, I am in worship and I am praying for my auntie. And she's at Wollongong Private Hospital. I drive to Wollongong Hospital straight after the service. And my mum is sitting on the side of her hospital bed. And when I arrived, she's like, Jackson, Kathy, tell him about the dream. Tell him about the dream. And it turns out that as my auntie was sleeping, she had had a dream that night and Jesus had come and sit on the end of her bed. And Jesus had said the very simple words to her, it is going to be okay. So it was another 3, 4, 5 months before she passed away. I went down to see her once in that time, but at that point she was very sick. She had been to a church a couple of times. At that point she was very sick. She hadn't been going to church or anything like that. And then it was a time for her funeral. And we arrived at the funeral in a small Assemblies of God church down in Batemans Bay. And the basket was beautiful. We stood there. We sat down and then the pastor, literally the first thing they said was, could you please stand? We're going to sing Kathy's favourite worship song. And it was a song that goes, oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His. And I stood there bawling my eyes out. My auntie, in her last days, had a favourite worship song. I need to see through the pall. I need to see through the soul to the pall. And it is never too late. It is never too far gone. Someone is never too hard. I just need to let you know, Jesus cares more about them becoming Paul than you do. See through the soul to the pall. Second thing that I'll get the keys up. If you can, please, Grace. Second thing that I would really love us to commit to tonight, and that is, I am determined to be vulnerable with my sore life to receive my poor life. I want to speak to the inside of you right now, to the soul in you that you are trying to cover up, to the unredeemed, the unsold, the unhealed parts of you and I. That the temptation is, which is what the world does, put a filter on it, put a mask on it, parade it on Instagram like it's all better. Just conceal it. No, not in 2021. You do not get your poor life by concealing. In vulnerability, you submit it to God and He will give you your poor life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Now I'm speaking directly to us. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come and the old has gone, the new is here. Saul, he was angry, vicious, fanatic, obsessive. He killed people. He was violent. After an encounter with God, he was gracious, wise, kind, releasing people. He was full of power, full of the Holy Spirit, full of Jesus. After an encounter with God, this is really important, guys. After one encounter with God, do you know you can have one encounter with God tonight? Every person in the room, you can have one encounter with God. And here's what I know, even though I see a lot of smiling faces, even though I see a lot of people who are put together, even though I can be, you know how I know this? Because I am one of you. This is a challenge for me as well. Even though I said, I know in here today, that there's souls who are anxious, addicted, hurt. And you can come under these identities as if it's the way you're going to spend the rest of your life. My name is Saul. So whether you're anxious, addicted, hurt, brokenhearted, depressed, bored, impulsive, lifeless on the inside, insecure, fake, frustrated, hard-hearted, cynical or unhappy, nervous, shy, dead on the inside, dishonest, distrustful, constantly selfish, or broken. Can I tell you today, that is not who you are, who you really are. That, my friends, is Saul. But you, my friend, are about to have an encounter with God. You, my friend, if you and I would choose to be vulnerable today, I will tell you, I will promise you, the depression, the anxiety, the hate, the lust in you, the insecurities, the brokenheartedness, bit by bit, in an encounter with God, you will see Saul become Paul. For those of you who today, where you find yourself struggling to come vulnerable to God again, struggling to present the vulnerability to God again, I've been there. I've been there. Far out, I have been there. Can I tell you? There was one particular vulnerability, the area of family for me, that was extremely broken and did not make sense. And it was hard to constantly bring it to God. Now that I've started a family, on the other side of all the hard times, bringing it to God, the hardness was worth it. The struggle to be vulnerable, it was worth it. The pain of bringing the issue to God again, it's worth it. I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes. We're about to go into a time of ministry, but there's something that I want to do first. And that is, if you are in here today and you find yourself for the first time hearing about Jesus spoken about like this, you know, you've been to scripture and you've read articles and you've heard about him, and you know, they televised the Catholic Mass on Good Friday and Easter Sunday and Christmas, and you see the archbishops giving, you know, their Christmas address, but you've never heard Jesus preached about like this. Can I tell you, Jesus Christ changed my life. I was exactly like you. I did not grow up in a Christian home. I did not grow up around the things of God. I was exactly like you. And I came into a church like this, in fact, into this church, and I opened up my heart to God. Can I tell you, the instant healing that came to my life when I opened up my heart to God? Do you know the feeling of being so tarred and so tainted and so disfigured internally by mistake, sin, shame, guilt? That feeling when it is washed away and Jesus leaves a clean slate and Jesus leaves a healed and whole internal world, that feeling is, to this day, the best feeling I have ever encountered. That Jesus who saved me, who I'm speaking about tonight, is in the room to meet you. He is in the room to meet you. In moments like this, I remember it. Your heart beats. You almost feel this uncomfort internally, but that's the Spirit of God just being like, this is for you. As soon as you receive that, it's for me, that feeling will actually turn into joy. There's that thing tugging you on the inside saying, this whole night, it's for you. It's tugging you right now. That is Jesus Christ wanting to heal and put together a broken life and to give you a new start. I'm going to help you pray a prayer. Our whole church is going to pray it. And the Bible says that if you believe in your heart that Christ is Lord and you confess with your mouth that he raised from the dead, like what I did, you will be saved. Jesus will save you. So pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I come to you tonight and I believe that you are the Son of God and you raised to life to give me new life. So I receive you today as my Lord, my friend, my Savior. Wash me clean. Here's my whole life. Clear it all. I receive a new day. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it for the first time or for the first time in a long time, on the count of three, I just very quickly want you to lift your hand. The reason why is I want to pray for you. You can put it straight back down after I said it. Ready? On the count of three. Ready? One, two, three. Lift it up. Give me a wave. So good. Awesome over here. Fantastic. So happy for you. You can put your hands down. This is magnificent. This is so good. Yes, up there, I see your hand. So proud of you, my friend. We are so happy for you. I celebrate that today. Yeah, over here, man, I'm so proud of you, brother. I am so proud of you. You know, this is a good day. It's a good day. I remember this day. This is a good day. This is a good day when you give your heart to Jesus. Come on, 4, 5, 6 people already. Who else today is saying, yeah, it's my day. I am receiving. I need the new day. I need the new day. You can feel God tugging you. I'm just going to wait a little bit more. So good. So good. Well, church, you can look at me for a second. Some people just made the best decision in the whole entire world. Can you give them a round of, come on, let's give them a massive clap of encouragement. Come on, let's lift the roof off. That's sick. So many people giving their heart to Jesus tonight. So God, I just ask, we as a church ask, that tonight is a defining moment for each of those people. I remember the day, God, and I know tonight they are going to go to bed and they are going to have a sweet presence with them. They are going to have a deep sense that God is on their side, that God is right there taking care of them. God, I thank you that today is a new day. Every obstacle, every challenge, come on church, who's praying with me? Every obstacle, every challenge that they encounter, we celebrate that they no longer have to do it alone. They can do it with Jesus Christ with them. We'd celebrate that in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody set? Come on, let's give them another round of applause.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at hz.church. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.